last week, after we left here, a friend of mine called me and says, he knows in that you Ibi Bosu, but what you do, I mean, Lampton.
That be senior boss. Ibi Bosu
pass. Cross marking. Ngolo Kanté.
Hey! But the job, if you know the job, then you know.
You know. If you day. Class is permanent.
Charlie. You know, go if you can use paramedics at the end to can Charlie. You catch your man. But, DK, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
Oh, please. Students, I'm okay.
Fantastic.
Yes. Natinu. Sitcho says I should defer the question of the name of the cap he's wearing to you.
Charlie, this one, it'll be the coolest of highs. You understand? This one, when something within the financial sector that you are closely linked to indicates to you that you are arriving. You know, you see the pouch. You see the pouch against the Charlie, my guy. So against the linen top, Charlie. Today is Friday, you know, and then you're Friday. Charlie. Sitcho, you know, Sitcho is careful. According to Bukum Banku standards, Sitcho is the man who is careful because Banku say, if you know buy white shirt, when you know buy new car, then you know the inside. You see, about like 3 weeks ago, and then when he come to it, they fold the shirt. That they should say, Charlie. He buy the white shirt too. He wear them. Wait, some fold them at. Some buy new car. Charlie, hard guy. Yeah. Charlie, but good to be here, man. Good to be here.
Sitcho these days has been giving us the, not these days, always the young Accra rich man starter pack.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Charlie, we can't pressure you put the camp put for my top note. Bro,
brand new whip.
No, Champions League.
Brand new whip. Charlie. And you see, the other day, just before we get to the conversation, the other day I was having a chat with a friend of mine and he was telling me about this, you know, this brother of his, you know, from, you know, Osekum, who had bought a Mercedes.
Right.
You know? So he said, oh, mini Charlie. Ah, last time no me who now oh car no more, util Benz no more. He said, hey, my friend, Benz no and tremu, yeah them. Benz no uhumino, nami them. This one is Benz spelled with B-E-N-S. There's Benz. No Z at there, yeah. Benz, no.
Benz.
Name them. Or them. Or them. Charlie.
Benz.
But Natinu, great to be here. This was not supposed to be part of the itinerary. But the minister has inaugurated a 7-member
committee. Very well. Very well.
There's 21 days.
Very well.
For them to. You've seen the terms of reference of the committee.
Very well. Very well.
He seemed to have some really high expectations of the committee.
Very well. And I will commend the minister for. You know, for putting together this committee. Now, I'll quickly go into the list of, you know, the names, the prominent names of persons who have been tasked with this responsibility of producing a report within the next 3 weeks. I believe that 3 weeks is good enough time, considering the fact that we have just about everybody who can respond or attend to the committee there and available. What is important, like I said, is that the family needs to get closure. And if there were any issues of wrongdoing or any issues of, you know, of not following procedure or not following compliance, then people will be punished. And I'm glad that the minister was very clear in his words. He didn't mince his words at all. He said, listen, if we have to punish, we will punish whoever it is, you see. And for me, that gives a lot of confidence, and it also adds greatly to the optics, because all the stimulus that we give out concerning this matter becomes very, very important, because like I said, there's death here, and then secondly, this is a cross-border matter between Ghana and Nigeria, and Ghana and Nigeria have enjoyed some very good diplomatic relations over the years, and it's important that when things like these come up, we look at it from a humane point of view and also back it with what the law requires of us when you know, when we're setting up our various you know, sectors and, you know, and doing what we have to
just
do.
Just before you continue,
yes,
I'll just take listeners through the members on the committee.
Very
Ambassador
well.
Major retired Amaka Yamatefield.
Very well.
Is going to chair the committee. Former GBA boss Peter Zuenes, Eko Asma, an experienced broadcaster who focuses on boxing reports. And Samuel Battles, who's a lawyer, former journalist, Eddie Papo, a judge, once upon a time a referee, at Eddie Papo, I believe. Juliana Ado Yobo is also a lawyer, and then Martin Engman.
Very well. Great. Ambassador Amakai Amatefio previously served as the Swedish consul to Ghana. He has had a long-running history with boxing, contributing greatly to the Azuma Nelson story that we all bask in and refer to with great pride. In fact, there is an iconic picture of him carrying Azuma Nelson in one of his major championship fights, which he won under very tough circumstances at the Madison Square Garden in New York. He was one of the respondents in one of my key boxing documentaries, one on the legendary DK Poison. Yeah. He has contributed to the industry. He's seen its growth. He's contributed to setting up our industry. And he is obviously well cut for this. He's also played the role of sports minister before. At the time, during the military era, it was referred to as it was known as the Secretary for Sports. Yeah. So he previously served under the PNDC government led by the then Flight Lieutenant Jerry Don Rawlings as its sports secretary, youth and sports secretary. So he comes in with a wealth of knowledge, having a legal background, a very, very senior member of the bar. And so that will be brought to bear greatly because this is drenched heavily in law and what the law says and what the law requires of all of us. Then you come to Lawyer Peter Zwene. He's an immediate past president of the Ghana Boxing Authority. I served under him on his sponsorship committee. He served two terms. And he decided to take a step back, even though he qualified to go again. And also, he has done the whole bouquet. I mean, he's managed boxers before. He's been very involved in promotions before and has been a commissioner, obviously, as being president of the Ghana Boxing Authority, is one who has been a commissioner before. And so he has the rules at his fingertips and also has the law very big knowledge of the law, being a very successful private practitioner. He brings all of that to the table. Now you talk about Mr. Echo Asma. Echo Asma is my senior in journalism. Started the major part of his career in print was at the Graphic Communications Group. He covered world champions including Ike Bazooka Kwarti and the like. Covered them around the world before I got into the space. He is an author. He's authored a minimum of 2 books on boxing. He's going on to a third one and also has a great wealth of knowledge when it comes to the doings within the sector. Now, then you go to Atta Eddie Papu. Atta is father. Atta is a Ga prefix. It's his Papu. And within the boxing circles, we call him Atta Eddie Papu. I mean, he's a septuagenarian, still looks very good. Has been at the ringside for some major world title bouts, including those involving the legendary, the Klitschko brothers and all of that. He is a seasoned WBC international boxing judge, about the senior most we have in the country at the moment, has great experience, is respected across the continent, is respected globally as well, and also serves on the WBC Ring Officials Council. And so he brings that wealth of knowledge as well. Remember, these are persons, between himself and Peter Zwenes, these are persons who have served on various, like an uncountable number of fight nights, and have gone through various procedures, have seen so many weigh-in ceremonies, they've seen so many news conferences, and they bring that wealth of knowledge to the table. Dr. Martin Engman, obviously, is coming from the medical side. Now, he has operated within sports medicine circles for many years, qualified, has treated and taken care of many of our athletes across board, not only football, has served as Black Star's doctor before, knows what it means when some of these situations arise, and obviously will be very key. His input will be very key when it comes to recommendations that will be made by this committee, especially when it comes to compliance on the medical end of things. So he brings in a lot of wealth of knowledge. And then you talk about Mrs. Juliana Adoyobo. She is one who has many years of private practice at her fingertips, and that also comes in very crucially here. Remember, you have a good spread of lawyers across, and that just tells you the thought behind putting together this committee. Now, you also have our very own Sammy Bartels. Yeah. And you rightly mentioned that Sammy Bartels, being a telecoms lawyer and also a sports journalist of many years doing radio and television, has taken special interest in boxing. In fact, the last two major conversations we had in boxing, we had him contributing greatly, especially with international boxing. And I mention international boxing because, guys, you know, we sit here and we need to aspire to a certain standard. Who creates the standard? It's the markets that have been created in the United States of America, in Europe, and in some parts of the Gulf now, you know, when it comes to competition and selling premium competition to the rest of the world. So these are the places, and they have very, very high standards. I have covered world title fights around the world, and there are standards. I've covered ordinary contests too in different jurisdictions away from Ghana. But there are standards. There are standards that we need to be held to, and there are standards that we need to go by. So that becomes very, very important. So I expect quite a bit in terms of what will be drawn from the respondents to the committee. And I do expect a very, very thorough job, considering the wealth of knowledge that these individuals bring to the table. So I'd like to commend the minister. Honorable Kofi Adams has done a wonderful job. And in 3 weeks' time, we'd all be here, by the grace of the good Lord, give us life so that we can come and sit down and look at what is recommended. Now, key thing here before I wrap up, gentlemen, is that we've seen many recommendations of various committees. When you talk about sport, you can immediately talk about the Jabefe Commission of recent years. You can talk about the Okujetu Commission that looked into May 9. You can talk about the Gbadegbe Commission. The soul of Justice Nasiru Sule Gbadegbe rest in peace. He passed on about a week and a half ago. Justice Sule Gbadegbe was the one who sat and led the Gbadegbe Commission, which looked into player transfers of some specific clubs because there were issues of accountability, and some recommendations were made. So it is the expectation of all Ghanaians, and for the future, for future reference, for posterity, and for the kinds of standards that we want to establish for the generations after us to come and take up, we need to make sure that these recommendations are seen to. Like you said, this is not the subject, but you know, like they say in local parlance, assembly de assemba. You do remember that one of the recommendations, and I shuffle and I pick up the Okujetu Commission, for instance. When you read that report, it indicates clearly and directs that Accra Hearts of Oak and Kumasi Asante Kotoko have to play a commemorative game for the May 9 disaster every season. Has that been done? And the big answer is no. So you look across all of these constitutionally set up bodies, and you realize that they do a lot of thorough work because of the high levels of competence of the individuals who are brought to serve on these committees. But when once it is done and gone, you know, so once again, final of finals, let us just pray that once it comes out, if there are any recommendations made, all of us as a body, and I say all of us as a collective, the media must do their part in terms of highlighting what has been put out. And then also stakeholders. And by stakeholders, I'm talking about the licensees of the Boxing Authority, the Ministry, the National Sports Authority, and all who are involved in this will, wholeheartedly ensure that they comply with whatever has been recommended and directed, so that the family who have been affected most by this will have some closure. And then our brothers, by that, I'm saying the Nigerian Boxing Board of Control and all those whom we work with very closely, can then have bigger trust. And of course, the optics become important, because once this is done, others who engage with the Ghana Boxing Authority on competition, on the level of competition, will have bigger confidence in us. Right. We have the WBO's Africa supervisor here with us. We have some very good individuals who are serving on various bodies when it comes to the global picture or the bigger picture of administration of the sport. So it's important that we set the record straight and we put the story right.
All right. Yasechi sent a message regarding the picture that you spoke about of Amaka Amatafield.
Yes.
His Excellency. And he said that picture of him and Azuma was after the Gomez fight in Puerto Rico.
Great.
In 1984.
Yeah. At the right time, yeah, at the right time we'll go into these stories. One of these days we should do some by the fireside.
You know,
the other day we were having a conversation about great players. Charlie Abedi Pele plays on ball. Yeah.
Maestro. Abedi,
the maestro plays on ball. Charlie, he be hard guy. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. Charlie, can we talk about Partey? May I talk about Partey so that they can get into the conversation?
Yeah, we will. We will. But first, Daniel, the Ghana Football Association yesterday announced that it's the GTEC Stadium that will be hosting the Black Stars of Ghana, Nigeria, TNT, and then Jamaica. Just how significant is this exercise for the team?
Look, it's good. It's, of course, a May-June window. There are no qualifiers for African teams. It was very important, especially with the momentum that the Black Stars have picked in the last international window, for them to get very good competitive fixtures to play in. And I think the choice of opposition is also really good. Nigeria themselves are struggling in the World Cup qualifiers. They need that competition to be able to fine-tune some one or two things in their team before the World Cup qualifiers resumes, I think, in September. So they themselves will approach this with some level of seriousness. So Ghana facing Nigeria in that first match, it's a very good test for the Black Stars. And then whatever happens, we'll face, I think, the winner of the Jamaica and then the Trinidad game. CONCACAF is also playing their qualifiers for the World Cup. So they themselves are also preparing for when the September qualifiers resumes. And you expect the various teams to go in there with a certain level of seriousness. So in as much as, yes, on paper it's a friendly, I think all four teams are going into the competition with a clear-cut goal in mind, which is very important for preparation's sake. So I'm happy that the FA were able to get this competition. If I get the Black Stars into this competition, two games in a space of, I think, 4 days, and at a very familiar place for Ghanaians, a big Ghanaian community in the UK. And it's happening in London, West London, Brentford Stadium. Very
like
good
for
pitch.
The four countries that are playing, they have huge
representation. Like Nigeria have, Ghana has, Jamaica, the Caribbean community like is big. So it's a very good initiative. And I think it will be well patronized. I'm just hoping that the Black Stars will approach it with the World Cup qualifiers in hand. I mean, I don't want any trial and error. If you know they are not going to call the person for September, forget. Let's go with a team, or maybe even the fringe players around the team who will be part of the World Cup qualifiers. Let's go there, try and find two appropriations, and then get back in.
So Benjamin Sari will go to the UK.
Oh, quick.
Nicely.
Charlie.
So he signed a one-year extension.
Yeah.
That was announced yesterday. But for Otuado, Daniel spoke about the need to take it seriously and put forward our best foot. As far as the team's growth and progress is concerned, I mean, the squad building and even what we see on the pitch, should that be the focus, just as Daniel has said?
Absolutely, because let's be honest, Otto doesn't have a settled team yet. Yes, over the World Cup qualifying, the more recent window, he's won back-to-back games, played some very good football around the time, but overall, we still don't know how Otto wants to play. Otto himself hasn't necessarily had a full grip of the squad. And unfortunately for some players that he Otto likes, he's not been able to make the bold call to play them for some minutes, because almost every game for Otto has been pressure games. So this window presents him the opportunity to again work with the squad, send his ideas through, test a few more things in these games. And because remember, it's going to be two games. Even if you lose the first game, there's a third and fourth to play. Yeah. So those are two very good opportunities for you to test the very squad you're going to work with. Like Danny said, they're going to bring a whole new group of players who 80% of them are going to play in the World Cup qualifier, then there's no point. But the essence of this friendlies is to present the opportunity for the coach to work with the squad, gets ideas through them, and see how he can get them to play well enough to qualify to the World Cup. So yeah, he has to approach it with a lot of seriousness, no slacking, no trial luck. We want to see his A team, if not necessarily his starting 11, every player who's going to be part of his squad, if everything remains equal, being in that friendly game. So it's important that he goes that way. And I like the way the organizers did it. The semi-finals or the first games are in the same region. So the Africans are playing the semi-final, and the Caribbeans are playing the semi-final. The good thing is, whatever happens, the final is going to have a rep of Africa and from there, Caribbean. You know, so that there's the focus is still on the game throughout. So yeah, it's not bad. I like it.
Achu, just a quick one to chip in. You know, Sicho mentioned the element of a team settling, and I believe that that's very important. So while we bask in the relief of having those two wins back to back, let's still remember that we are not there yet. It's very important.
Yeah.
So that you know that the regular football fan, drunk in that, you know, that that frenzied state of enjoying that, you know, the wins and all those goals that came, the super performances by the goalkeeper of Accra Hearts of Oak and all of that. Now, if anything goes along the lines of a draw or touch wood, a loss, it could mess up the flavor. Okay, so let's just be reminded that we are still at a building stage. I believe that consistency will get the team to gel eventually. And eventually when we qualify from a Ghanaian perspective, things can go well. And we may just end up putting up one of our best performances yet at the FIFA World Cup.
Right. And I'm going to stay with you. Because speaking of the Black Stars, the team's former captain and without doubt our best midfielder, Thomas Partey, he showed his true self again in midweek for Arsenal when they beat Real Madrid by 3-0. Some have said it was his best performance in Arsenal colours. Some have said it was the best performance in the Champions League. You were itching to talk about him. You saw the level at which he operated. What does that performance mean for his Arsenal future?
Well, not only his Arsenal future, but remember, we're talking Ghana here as well. Let's look at Arsenal. And permit me to sound very sentimental, okay? There is no doubt about Partey's quality on the pitch. I'm so glad that after quite a number of years, we have a player cast in the mold of a Michael Essien who can be talked about by the foreign media. And that becomes a big point of pride for us here in Ghana. Because you see, as you talk about the biggest brand of your football, which is your national team, you're also looking at what kind of impact individual players or the star players or those who bring attraction to the team are performing, or how well they're performing out there, whether they're performing here on the continent or outside of it. What you're always looking out for is the consistency in performances and the quality of their performances. And gladly, without any doubt or without blinking, we're able to place that world-class tag on Thomas Partey. Once again, from a very sentimental point of view, I refer to his run at Atletico Madrid. And it's sad that he couldn't win anything major with them, even though he worked his socks off. And so what I'm looking for and what I want to see him achieve is something major with Arsenal, at the least before he bows out. We all refer to the story. When we look at these kinds of scenarios, we always refer to the story of Michael Owen, who at the time was a lover boy of the fans. He was the toast of the fans. He was the consistent performer, youthful, was performing at the highest level. And then just at the time when Michael Owen decided to take a bow from Liverpool, they ended up winning the Champions League trophy.
Yeah.
And sometimes timing of decisions become very, very important. One of the things we cannot run away from, and which we also have to talk about, is these issues of injuries that have been plaguing Thomas Partey. Once again, from a very Ghanaian perspective, I would want to see him go injury-free for as long as possible so that these performances can settle. Because you see, what happens is that he would go 2, 3, 4, 5 games and then there's a break because he's received a little knock and it takes a little while to heal and all of that. And of course, there are differences between match fitness and fitness. You understand? So I would like to see him move beyond this stage of putting up these world-class performances to complement them and put the icing on the cake and win something with them. And talk about that would bring us to some 2.5 seasons ago when Arsenal got the opportunity and let it slip to Manchester City. So you have a typical scenario here. And who are you going up against? You're going up against a Real Madrid who know what it means to win the Champions League better than anybody else. Because year in, year out, season in, season out, they have given us reason to believe that if there is a masterclass, no other club in Europe passes the test or has the credentials to engage in that masterclass when it comes to winning the UEFA Champions League. Look, everybody I've engaged talks about the den, and I'll put it that way, the den of white flags at the Bernabeu, which Arsenal are going to face. And I'm saying it here on record that if Arsenal are able to pass that test, I will not forgive them if they do not win the UEFA Champions League. Because you see, this game is not just about executing the tactics and executing a game plan by your coach, or switching styles and switching focus, switching your play and focusing on certain areas of the game. It is also about the psyche, the mentality of the players, and how they're able to work their psyche up such that they can even come back from a goal down or two goals down to win a game. That is the kind of mentality we're looking forward to as they go into that return leg. And it will become important that Arsenal go in wherever, dig very deep into themselves, and draw out that very rare fluid, or that rare stimulus that could get them to execute this and execute this well. Because guess what? If they lose this again, coming back to play a whole season in the UEFA Champions League next season, let alone get here, will be such a complex act, and it may be unachievable. So this is the time. Strike while the iron is hot. And for me, Thomas Partey will play a very big role in there. Added to all of this, finally, is the fact that, from a Ghanaian perspective, once again, you're also looking at seeing your topmost stars perform. Today, when we sit here, we bask in the pride of a Marcel Desailly, an Abedi Pele, an Ibrahim Tanko, a Michael Essien, a Sule Ali Montari win the UEFA Champions League. It won't be bad to add one more player or two more players, especially considering the fact that we have lost out for a very long time on Africa's topmost prize of the African Footballer of the Year by CAF. And so as we go along, as we try to rehash, and as we try to push our talents around the world in the most relevant leagues, it is also important that we back them with some very good silverware. Because guess what? I sometimes sit back and say, oh my goodness, if only Abedi Ayew Pele, the maestro, had played at the FIFA World Cup. If only that stage had seen his blessing for football, it would have been something else. So it's important that we see them there and we get them to do it. So for me, yes, I'm a Chelsea fan. There's no doubt about that. You see my watch. You see the inside. The blue, But Charlie, this one, to all the Arsenal fans, and we'll say greetings to the MD of CBG, Reverend Daniel Asiedu. If you go to Reverend Daniel Asiedu, you have to have an Arsenal flag and talk Arsenal. And also the MD of Zenith Bank, Oga Onwuzurigbo. He's a very big fan of Arsenal. And of course, these are all offshoots of the performances that Nwankwo Kanu put up many years ago.
All right. Speaking of Thomas Partey, he actually has silverware. He won silverware.
Europa League, yeah.
Atletico. And then I think the UEFA Super Cup.
Of course. It's very important. Yeah. Sorry. I missed out on that.
Live on Joy 99.7 FM. This is Game Plan. We're going all the way till 3 p.m. Daniel, a lot of people have given Arsenal credits for that win over Real Madrid, especially how they were able to shut out Real Madrid's front three. How much credit does Arteta deserve for this one?
Artetus!
is that his Portuguese name or what? Maybe he'd be Portuguese, man.
He's in an abusive relationship.
But I know Arteta and I, we are very close.
Yeah.
We've been, since he was a player, in fact, the time he was at Everton, he's my guy. I can show you the messages.
Mikel.
Before the furnishing tournament, we have to have dinner with him.
Quick.
In fact, the show with Oduam from London. That's life.
Artetus.
Yeah. Not Mirabel will produce the show for you, so you take care along when you are going to London.
Artetus. Oh, Charlie. No, he's made me happy. Look, coaching a game against Real Madrid is very difficult. Because one mistake and you'll be punished. They are that lethal. They don't need to be at 100%. And we've watched this season after season after season. Madrid don't need to completely dominate a game for them to win. Against Atletico, they were not the better team. But they found a way. That is Real Madrid. They always seem to find a way. So for you to coach and have a very efficient display against Real Madrid. And the important thing for Arsenal is they came out of that game without conceding, which was very important. And I enjoyed what watching Arteta coach that game, I didn't think he had it in him, especially in the last 10-15 minutes of the second half. I thought that was the most dangerous period when Arsenal scored the first free kick. Between the first free kick and then the Merino goal, I always say you are, in fact, it's a general statement. You are most vulnerable when you've just scored. And Madrid tend to pounce on teams during periods like that. So once you score and you have the momentum and you want to open the game up and play, that's when they find the spaces and they punish. And you could tell Madrid wanted to go 2-2 once Arsenal scored. They wanted to go all guns blazing. But that's when the coaching... The coaching from Arteta was just, I think, superior in that in that period. And Thomas Partey himself, setting passes, killing momentum from Madrid's momentum. When they wanted the game to be chaotic, Partey calmed it down. Rice was dropping back. You saw the small boy, you know, Luis Kelly. Ah, what a kid. Luis Kelly showing confidence and maturity in terms of the choice of passes they were picking. Sideways, back, killing it. Yes, watching it from an Arsenal point of view, it might have been frustrating, but it was very necessary to kill the momentum of Madrid before they slowly built again. And a Merino goal was just typified exactly what I was talking about. It didn't come from a transition. It didn't come from a Madrid mistake. It came from Arsenal slowly building from the back, getting men forward, movement, interplay, before the final finish from Merino, which was, I think, world-class. A super, super finish from him. So, it was all in all a good performance from Arsenal. I don't think they completely dominated Madrid. I don't think what we watched was a 3-0 game. It wasn't a 3-0 game, but that's when you need to give credit to Arsenal, because it is something that Madrid usually does. They don't really play as well as the scoreline suggests, but they get the job done. But Arsenal were able to get it. And I mentioned it, that last 15 minutes, the changes that Arteta made, changing the shape slightly, obviously taking a bit of steam out of the attack, but maintaining the dominance in midfield, getting bodies in there, passing the ball around, slowing the tempo, making sure that it ended with a clean sheet, and having themselves a 3-goal advantage going into the Bernabeu. Credit to Arteta, credit to Thomas Partey, was just super, super brilliant. But yes, this is what Arsenal can do, and I'm hoping that they continue this in the second leg, because that place...
We'll get to that place, but the Partey thing, we can't just keep talking about just how good he is. At some point, he has to enter the hallowed realms of the best in the business. Where does he rank now after that performance among the best central midfielders around now?
We are doing the show in Koko Mlemle. He always be my number one. Like, look, Partey is that good. And I think the only thing that goes against him is his injuries.
Yeah.
Because people don't get to see these consistent performances week in, week out, And that's the only thing that goes against him. But I think a fully fit Partey, I think he's up there. He's up there. There's no reason why we can't have a debate as to Partey, Rodri, the Pedris. He is that good. He has everything in his game. The physicality, the passing, that his decision making. He has everything. And he can do, for me, the advantage Partey has over the rest is he can do the different jobs in midfield. Yeah. We've seen him play box to box. We've seen him sit. We've seen him play a more offensive role as a number 10. We've not seen, especially for Rodri, we've not seen him be that dynamic in terms of roles. He's a specialist in what he does. Pedri, yes, we've seen him do some other things, especially with the Spanish national team. But with Partey, it's like 10 over 10 in any role that he's given. And I think for me, from a coaching point of view, you would want a player who is as dynamic as him, obviously, if he's fully fit. I think he's up there. For me, he's...
Nanike, and a quick one to add to this before Sitchu comes in. You know, this is not just Arteta, or Artetus, as Nanike would like to put it. This is not just Arteta saying Partey is good. His teammates with whom he delivers the job on a daily basis on the pitch are attesting to his quality.
Yeah.
End of story.
Right.
Zinchenko played with Fernandinho, Rodri, and Partey. And he said he had internal debates in his head. And watching all the three of them, he played with Zinchenko, he played with Rodri, he played with Partey. He says that Partey is up there.
Yeah.
That's a solid compliment.
We'll go for a quick commercial break. When we return, Sitcho will tell us how Arsenal were able to keep Real Madrid's front three at bay. And then we'll look at the Real Madrid side of the conversation. This is Game Plan. Stay tuned.
Kofi Hayford here with Showbiz News Flash, powered by Joy Entertainment. As we count down to Ghana's biggest music night, nominated artists have been sharing their thoughts, and the latest to do so is AEC. The talented singer has been nominated for the Best Songwriter of the Year, Best Male Performance, and Record of the Year. And AEC says, even though he respects his competitors, he really deserves the awards. Last night, Afrobeat artist Olive the Boy assembled a lot of music industry stakeholders for the release of his latest EP. The EP is titled Out of the Blue and has 8 beautiful songs featuring other artists including Sarkodie and Nigeria's Mayokun, among others. Out of the Blue EP is currently out on all DSPs. Congrats to Olive the Boy. American music group Migos member Quavo might soon be headed to court. Quavo is being sued by one Daniel Arsham for allegedly using his sculpture in a promotional social media video without permission. That's all for now on Showbiz News Flash, powered by Joy Entertainment. Do visit Joy Entertainment social media pages and myjoyonline.com for more. I am Kofi Hayford, Joy Entertainment. We are large and in charge.
All right, welcome back. This is Game Plan Live on Joy 99.7 FM. My name is Victor Achita Maklu. You heard earlier from Nathaniel Ator. You heard from Daniel Crantin, Sitcho as well, who is now getting into the ring for us to look back on how Arsenal, for 90 minutes, were able to keep away Kylian Mbappe, Vinicius Jr., who had possibly his worst game in Real Madrid colors, as did Rodrigo, I beg your pardon, as well, on Tuesday night. Sitcho, how much of that does Arteta take credits for?
All of it. And all of it. And then a lot of credit goes to the individual players he selected to play. And look, the way Arsenal set up to attack, they defended in similar fashion. And that is one of the good things about Arsenal, or the downside about Arsenal. Even when Arsenal have the ball, the whole thinking about Arsenal being in possession is what they do if they lose the ball at the time they have possession. So when people say Arsenal have got some of the best rest defense in the world, it simply means, rest defense simply means positions, the position the team picks, the team on the ball will pick when they lose the ball. And Arsenal have got some of the best in the world. It actually has a problem with the way they attack, but it stops a lot of problems when they lose the ball. Now, in the game against Real Madrid, Arsenal on the ball were simply playing with the back three. So Lewis Kelly would join Thomas Partey at the double pivot. And Lewis Kelly is great when it comes to the midfield. He's doing brilliant here. He's comfortable. He's confident as well. He wants to get on the ball on the 10
minutes. For someone who had not played as a left back before until Arteta asked him to this season,
he's smart.
He's been brilliant.
It's like for players who, you know, are able to quickly adapt to roles, understand the demands of the role, and execute it at the highest level, they are very smart. And we saw him on his England debut as well, you know, going himself a goal. I mean, he's a good kid, and I wish him all the best in the rest of his career. He's kind of player that I like to see develop and grow, you know. So he would invest into the midfield to form a double pivot alongside Thomas Partey, which then would free Declan Rice to go and play in an advanced role alongside Odegaard. Now, that also caused Real Madrid a lot of problems, because Real Madrid then had two central midfielders. Because they were playing with the 4-4-2. And with the 4-4-2, Bellingham and Rodrigo would go somewhat wide, and Camavinga and Modric would be left in the middle of the park. Now, for Arsenal, and when you asked about how they stopped Real Madrid, for Arsenal, Timber wasn't overlapping as a right back in the game. His job, really, was to keep the balance at the back anytime Lewis Kelly would form the double pivot with Partey.
Yeah.
So he would sit in, and then Kiwio, who at times we've seen play as a left back. Will shift a little bit to cover more space. And then there is Saliba. Now, because Real Madrid were playing with the two top, it was the two front men when Real Madrid tried to transition against the three men at the back. But what also made it very difficult for, if you like, Real Madrid to find their front men for most of the time was because when Modric had the ball in midfield, or Camavinga had the ball in midfield, there were too many bodies in the central area for them to pass the ball around or to get through. So we barely saw Real Madrid or their midfielders feeding the front men, because anytime Real Madrid got the ball, Arsenal were in perfect places to curtail it, either apply the pressure to win the ball or to block the passing lane. So straight away, Vinicius Jr. and Mbappe started looking for spaces. But then that was also a problem, because when Arsenal were building up, the two players who were helping in the early part of the game, who were helping Real Madrid to stop Arsenal from sending the ball into the midfield, were Mbappe and Vinicius, because they were, if like, shadowing the two midfielders in Lewis Kelly and Partey. But the moment they started realizing that, Charlie, the ball no they come through our midfielders, so let's find spaces in pockets, let's move to the wide areas, they lost their discipline off the ball, right? Because naturally, that's not what they do.
Yeah.
Because now they're looking, so Vinicius started going wide. Mbappe started dropping deep to pick the ball. So we saw him dropping deep to try and influence the game. Vinicius started going wide to take on Timber. But anytime Arsenal then had the ball, Mbappe is not coming back to cover Shadow, Partey, or Lewis Kelly. And Vinny the same. Then Arsenal started having the freedom to progress the ball through the middle and find Bukayo Saka and what have you. So for me, I think the 4-4-2 that Carlo Ancelotti picked didn't necessarily work. But the industry and ability of the Arsenal players, and what made it even worse for Modric and Camavinga was this. Merino, who was the center forward, was dropping deep. So virtually the deepest midfielders of Arsenal, of Real Madrid, were playing against three advanced midfielders of Arsenal: Odegaard, Merino, and Declan Rice.
In fact,
and Lewis Kelly would also.
Yeah, in fact, it was a 5-2.
Can I get closer to the microphone?
Yeah.
Get closer to me.
It was a 5-2, especially when you talk about the Mbappe and Vinicius neglecting their work. So now Partey, Skelly, then Rice, Merino, and Odegaard. So they had surrounded
the two, Camavinga, yeah. and Rodrigo and Bellingham were wide of them. Yeah. So whereas the Arsenal five midfielders are around the Real Madrid two central midfielders, Rodrigo and Bellingham are outside the five. So we saw Arsenal completely have the control and the comfort in the middle of the park. But Danny said it. This is how Real Madrid have done it for so many years. They won't dominate games. They will wait for the moment. But in this game, Arsenal had those moments, which were magical. And if you're going to beat Madrid by this scoreline, you need something really special. And those two goals from Rice were special. Like, he won't do it again. Only boom. He won't see. If Arsenal get a free card at Bernabeu, somebody else should try it. See, he will play the ball into the stands. He won't do it again. Oh. Look,
he had never scored a free kick.
There are some things that is once in a life. If I were Rice, I won't play free kick again.
Finished,
bro.
Don't try it again.
They were too perfect. Yeah. They were the two free kicks. Look, if he
doesn't attempt any free kick till he retires,
he's a legend.
He has the best free kick conversion ratio,
bro, in the history. The guy hits, and he had to be perfect on the day.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was. And for me, and then he mentioned it. It wasn't necessarily as if Arsenal were dominating Real Madrid and were knocking and creating problems, but as soon as the first free kick hit the back of the net, something changed. Real Madrid now were like, no, we can't wait for the moment. We have to find the moment. And within that period, a matured Arsenal team came to the fore. Mm-hmm. You see, the Arsenal team under Arteta has gone through some cycles. They've been maturing. Unfortunately for them, they've not been winning the big things. But we've seen the mentality shift.
Yeah.
We've seen their growth. Arsenal used to be babies, so we used to... Yeah. We used to tease them like anybody could bully them. Like, Eden Hazard go fit train and they fall forward.
They used to lose the League Cup finals to Birmingham. Remember, bro, that game?
But this is a matured Arsenal team, because when Real Madrid wanted to force the issue, Arsenal knew that they had to take control of the game and take this thing out of the game.
And they could do it.
And they did it. So between the first free kick and then even the second free kick, Arsenal almost killed Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Like, between that period, the game could have been 4-0. Goal line clearances, Courtois having to make saves, some, you know, block of shots and what have you. Because within that period, when Real Madrid wanted to be proactive and enforce the matters, Arsenal were like, okay, we'll pass the ball around you, we'll be calm, and we'll do it. But a lot of teams will do this. When Real Madrid are trying to force the matters, they will start defending.
Yeah.
They will start kicking the ball long. But what Arsenal did was, we will take control of the ball, we'll pass around, we'll find the spaces.
You won't have the momentum.
You won't have the momentum. Because you can't have momentum without the ball. Yeah. Then the ball hits the back of the net from the second free kick. And Real Madrid are in different places. Then the third goal. Look, I think Declan Rice's two free kicks are taking a shine out of the Mourinho goal. But that goal, the build-up, and then the finish. Yeah. Bro, Arsenal won't buy a striker next season, though. I thought I would buy another big center back.
He said.
Because if Mourinho go for you do this thing, why spend 90 million on a striker? I mean, that's just by the way. But that was a very good finish. And it was a blessing in disguise. Arsenal didn't have a striker because of the job Mourinho did. Because of the job Mourinho did. And that's why in the first half, anytime they would cross the ball across the face of goal, he was arriving late because he would have dropped deep to commit to the midfielders.
In the build-up.
And he wouldn't arrive early. But in the end, they won by 3-0. And massive credit to them. I thought Carlo Ancelotti got it wrong. We're setting up with that 4-4-2.
We'll come to Ancelotti because someone has to explain why up until now we have not seen Jude Bellingham playing in his natural central midfield position or any role that he previously was known for. And what else Madrid could have done differently? But this show is proudly brought to you by Petrosol and Betway. Look, we've all been there. You've placed the perfect multi-bet and it's all going your way until it's not. And one or more picks let you down. This one, last night it happened. Last night in the Europa League, Man United versus Olympic Lyon. Andre Onana. Everyone thought, Charlie, they slip. And you see, the thing about last night was that those who went for Chelsea first half goal, he cast. Chelsea didn't score that first half goal. Those who went for the Lazio win or Lazio goal, it didn't happen.
Charlie.
Athletic Bilbao, they fired blanks. So, United were like the only team giving people hope.
Until Winana.
Betway says, if this was your story, their bet saver feature allows you to win even if your bet misses. Even on multiple losses like last night, Chelsea first half, no show, Bilbao, Lazio. Even on multiple losses like that, you can get your bet back and more. BetSaver is exclusive to Betway. Get way more. Terms and conditions apply. It is regulated by the Gaming Commission of Ghana. Bet the responsible way. Betway, get way more. Now, you know that soothing feeling that you feel deep in your skin and all over your body when you shower with the soap that truly protects you? That peace of mind, that clean, hygienic, and protected feeling that allows you to go out and face the world without fear of any germs that cause skin diseases? Well, that is Lifebuoy Carbolic. Lifebuoy Carbolic, popularly known as the Guardian Soap, is that soap that has protected you and your family for... Hey, Charlie. After all these years, until today, I didn't know that what we've been calling Guardian Soap is Lifebuoy Carbolic. And today, we want to hear from you and reward you for your loyalty. So maybe after a while, you moved on because levels don't change. We know bokra, actually. We know no one does it better than Lifebuoy. So we dare for you. Today, we're going back down the memory lane. Some lucky callers will have the opportunity to answer a few questions and take home some lovely prizes. So pick up your phone when the lines open and let's get interactive. And remember to stay always protected with Lifebuoy. Now, the month of April brings more exciting news. It is the month of big wins for the Petrosol Energizing Dreams promo. So mark your calendars for the last three thrilling draws in April. Now, last monthly draw in April is happening today. The Petrosol Polygu service station along the Bolga Tamale Road in the Upper East region. In the Northern Sector Grand Finale, that's happening on the 16th of April at the Petrosol Bamahu Wa service station, also in the Upper West region. Then you've got the Southern Sector Grand Finale on April 29, the Petrosol Spintech service station right here in Accra. You could be driving home a brand new Suzuki Espresso this April. And that's why you need to stay updated on our social media handles and get ready for the ultimate climax. Petrosol's Energizing Dreams promo. Terms and conditions apply. Petrosol Energizing Dreams. Now, yesterday we launched the Road to Hits FM Rep Your Jesse show on Hits FM at 3 p.m. Just as it prepares to what's to come on the 31st of May when we bring you the Hits FM Rep Your Jesse 2025 at the Aviation Social Center. That's where the final of the Champions League game will be watched by the entire country. Everybody is coming there, right? And we do know that if your team doesn't even win, you want to be part of that celebration of football at the Aviation Social Center as we climax the Champions League in grand style with some Jama wash and fuel contest, the sports quiz, the five-a-side soccer, the Champions League anthem, and many other exciting games that we will be having at the Aviation Social Center. So do well to join us for that one and mark your calendars for that event. Remember, it is proudly brought to you by the Joy Sports team and Joy Prime, and sponsored by Soccer Bet, your best bets for sports betting. TCL, inspire greatness. DSTV, feel every moment. It's 22 minutes gone past 2 p.m. on Joy 99.7 FM. This is Game Plan. My name is Victor Achitama Pusisho. I'm Daniel. Let's continue the conversation on the Real Madrid side of things.
China. The question is...
Sorry about that. On the Real Madrid side of things.
Hey.
Now...
this guy.
I have no idea where that came from. But Ancelotti. He said quite a bit about... In fact, the last month has been Ancelotti playing politics, which is very unusual of him. But it says a lot about where he is and... the pressure that is coming about, his job security. The last time he says the only person he cares about is Florentino Perez and his assessment. On Tuesday, Daniel saw the lineup and said that he thought... So let me start with you, Daniel, on that one.
Yeah.
Why did you think the lineup alone was a determining factor in Real Madrid's defeat?
For me, it was the midfield battle I was looking at.
Right.
Madrid, in terms of technical ability... the ability to control the ball, control certain moments. The absence of Ceballos has been a huge hit. I don't think they have a player who is in the mold. So I knew Modric would start, but I wanted to know who would start alongside Modric, whether it would be a midfield two or a three. And when I saw Valverde playing at right back from the lineup, he was going to play at right back, and it was going to be only Modric and Camavinga in the middle. I knew that they would not be able to match up to Partey's control, Rice, Lewis Kelly coming in. And that just gave me the idea that if Arsenal were going to control and dominate, Madrid were going to have to submit. And another thing too was the seeing Alaba at left back.
Yeah.
I think it was a very, very poor decision by Ancelotti.
Well, one at a time. We'll come to the Alaba bit. What you've just explained about the profiles and the lack of it in with respect to a midfield controller or a thinker, sort of, that they were missing in Dani Ceballos. Is it not possible that Ancelotti knew that and was trying to compensate with something else that we perhaps have not mended our minds to in his selection of that combination? Especially in the decision to still commit Valverde to the right-back position.
Look, the thing is... this is not the first time we are going to see Arsenal play. This is not the first time we are... you know what Arsenal is going to do.
Yeah.
You know the type of midfield. And how Arteta has been doing this since the Zinchenko thing.
Yeah.
Left back coming into midfield, then having an extra midfielder bump forward, essentially creating a box. This time around, he doesn't have a standing number nine, so then Merino also drops in. And we've been seeing it time and time again. So you know that. And if you look at the players who would... form that circle or is it a pentagon around the whatever midfield combination that the opposition has, it's full of technically gifted players. Partey, when he picks up the ball under pressure, can pick out a pass. Lewis Skelly, not necessarily the level of Partey, but Skelly has the ability to dribble within tight spaces. We've seen it in the Premier, even the biggest games against Manchester City. We saw it. When he's under pressure, he can pick it up, drive through, dribble through one or two players before finding space and picking a pass. Rice is good at that. Merino is a natural midfielder, so we know. Odegaard is brilliant at that. So you need to, first of all, if you're playing a team like that, you need some energy. And I thought that Valverde would play in midfield in addition to whoever would
so Camavinga would pair, in this case.
Yeah, as for Modric, I knew he had to be a must because they needed that player where when under pressure can take the steam out of the game. Very important in Champions League games. But I thought they needed an additional midfielder. Or even if they didn't have an additional midfielder, I thought that Valverde would do a better job alongside Modric than Camavinga would do.
Yeah.
And also because of the shape of that shape and personnel in terms of the defense and the midfield. In terms of, I'm talking about who would do a better job at what position and where you would need a certain player more than another. So I thought, yes, you need to be able to handle Martinelli on that side. He's a danger. But Asensio has pace. We've seen it. Asensio is quick. He's a very good tackler. In fact, he looks like he's been this Madrid team for a very long time. And I didn't think that Martinelli was that much of a threat in terms of what Arsenal would do than what was happening in the middle of the park. So get Asensio
at right back.
And then the left back.
Alaba and then Rudiger.
Because look, Alaba has lost his legs. He's not as quick. And the way Arsenal play, the isolation they have with their wide men, with the way Saka plays, he will always have his defender one-on-one. So you need a very good one-on-one defender. And for me, if Camavinga had played left back, I think he would have done a much better job. He's quick. He has the energy. If Saka beats him, he can recover. But with Alaba, once he's gone, he's gone. And that was always going to be a problem. I felt also that if the way Saka dribbles and he dribbles inside, if he's coming in to the middle of the
park, running into traffic.
You see, that is an area where Camavinga is used to. So if he dribbles Camavinga inside and he's coming into midfield, Camavinga is more suited to dealing with that problem than Alaba because of the pace, the familiarity with the position, and then the energy to recover. So I just thought the placement of the personnel, they had the right guys on the field, but as to where they were playing and the positions they were playing, for me, it was an issue for me.
Okay. Situ.
Yeah.
So Daniel has hinted a part of it on the decision not to play Valverde in midfield and the decision to play Camavinga in midfield, Alaba out on the left. Is there any world where what Ancelotti started with and even how he managed the game made sense?
He's Carlo, so it's impossible for me to say it didn't make sense, but it didn't work. I'll say it didn't work.
Yeah.
Truly, when I saw the 4-4-2, I thought it was going to be a problem. And then he mentioned, we know how they're going to play. And when Mikel Merino has played against teams that have got, you know, a bit of quality about them, we know what he does. He's going to drop deep. Bukayo Saka is back. We know what he does. And a good thing is, if Mikel Merino is dropping deep, he pushes Odegaard wide. So he can go and combine with Saka. And the two of them, when they combine, it's most often to great effect. So I was surprised that Carlo chose the team that he chose. And I agree with Danny in many things that he said. That I would play Asensio right back. I would play Camavinga left back. And I'll keep Alaba and Rudiger in defense. And maybe, just maybe, I'm not starting Rodrigo away from home. Maybe I'm not starting Rodrigo away from home. It's over two legs. So I'm playing an extra midfielder who works very hard.
So what's your midfield base?
And Valverde, Modric, Bellingham, and then Brahim Diaz, who can play very central. And because I like Brahim Diaz because he can start from central and play operate wide. So if you want to play Vinicius Junior and, you know, Mbappe up front, and Tchouaméni is injured, Ceballos is not there. The one player who can also give you a job in midfield because he works very hard off the ball. And when he has the ball, he can run with it really well. It's got goals in him as well, could be Brahim Diaz. Because when he asked Rodrigo to be doing the job in the middle of the park, that is not his game. So the whole game, we didn't see his effect. And that wasn't his fault. That was only because, and we didn't even see Jude Bellingham enough because he was asked to play wide.
Yeah.
And it wasn't to any effect or whatsoever. So I thought Carlo maybe then didn't necessarily get it right on the day. And he more than anybody would have known that, and he would rectify it. Luckily for him, Tchouaméni is back into the middle of the park in Madrid, so that gives him another, you know, look into what he could do with the squad. Unfortunately, Camavinga, who we are all saying could have played at left back, is suspended because of that silly red card that he got himself at the end of the game.
Who do you start?
That's Mendy. Mendy is coming.
Mendy was injured. I don't know the extent of the injury. Tchouaméni is suspended, so he's back. Yeah. But Mendy had an injury. I don't know the extent of the injury. I'm not sure if he's back.
As well. The word is that he may be in the squad for the Alaves game.
Yeah.
If he does,
that's a huge boost. Yeah, that's a huge boost for them.
Is
so,
it over?
No, it's not. It's not.
What do you mean?
It's not.
What do you mean?
You go bed where you think.
Charlie.
What do you mean by it's over?
Charlie. Yesterday when I was going to bed, then I closed my eyes more. Then I saw Mbappe score in the second minute. That opened my eye. I didn't want to sleep again.
That's no. Are you sure you're not confusing the Alaves game for the
no? Look, the reason
why both teams start with E, it could well be that you saw Alaves.
The reason why I think that it's not over is because it's Real Madrid. And the reason I say it's because they've done it over and over again. So I give them that. The reason why I think it's tough is that Arsenal across Europe, they are one of the best defending teams. Not necessarily when they have to sit back. But even, like I said earlier in my submission, even when they have the ball, what they are thinking about is what they do when they lose it. So if you need a team to produce 90 minutes of good defensive show,
Harambo,
it could be Arsenal. And Arsenal do not need to necessarily win the game. Even if they lose the game, I think Real Madrid will win at the Bernabeu. As to whether that result, that win, is good enough to take the game to extra time or take them through, it's another conversation. I don't think Arsenal will lose those three goals, but it's really tough. I never really bet against Real Madrid, but I think this mountain is too high for them to climb.
Okay.
And I think Arsenal will go through in the end, even though I think Real Madrid will win at the Bernabeu.
Daniel. What is all that?
See, against any team, I'll say it's over. If it's against Bayern, against Barca, against PSG, I'll say it's over.
I wish that, you see that goal line clearance and then the double save from. I wish it was 4-0.
Which of the goal line clearance? The second one half.
The second half one. I really wish it was 4. Because look, 3 goals looks plenty. And I'll tell you why I'm skeptical. First of all, obviously, it's Real Madrid. And it's the Champions League. One moment can change everything. And it has happened before. It has happened to me personally before. Although it's a quite different circumstances. Yes. So, it was the 2019 season.
The City game?
No, 2019. So, I was supporting Barcelona in the first leg. Two teams that I like their tears. Yeah. Barcelona, Liverpool. So I wanted Barca to win. And I cheered the Messi goals. That free kick was fantastic. But when Dembele missed that last chance, I was just thinking to myself, he should have scored.
Yeah.
Because 3-0.
The Liverpool game, yeah?
Yeah.
Anfield.
3-0 some way. Yeah, second leg. You just knew that if Liverpool scored an early goal,
problem.
It becomes a problem. Because early goal, one goal in the first 10 minutes, now it's just 2-0. You are just leading 2-0. And it means the next goal in the game is, now the opposition game plan is thrown out of the window. They don't know whether to defend or whether to attack. And the same thing happened. Second leg, we start, Origi scored, I think, after 6 minutes. And all of a sudden, the game was open. You didn't know what was going to happen next. And look at when Liverpool scored their 3 goals in the second half. It was in the space of, I think, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
They scored 3 goals. So there are 2 goals from Wijnaldum and then the last one from Origi. And then that was it. And you see, even at 4-0, the game wasn't over. Barca just needed one more goal.
They didn't just have the energy and that.
They were deflated. Were just, yes. And you see, that's what second legs like this can do. Like, we could be there first 10 minutes, pine, Mbappe score or Vinicius score. And the thing is, look, Real Madrid may not even need to score. First 5 minutes,
hit bar one,
ping, make, then Vinicius will do his thing, no? That's it. And you see, I'm afraid because I don't think Arsenal haven't faced this
they've not been here before.
This particular team, they've not been here before. And I'm afraid they may crumble. Tactically, in terms of profile, in terms of plans.
So last season's defeat against Bayern doesn't count.
No, it doesn't. Last season's defeat.
No, it was Fala.
Second leg, they lost 1-0. That was
this one, you have qualified though. Arsenal have got one
this
leg.
This one, you have a lead to protect. A very healthy lead to protect.
You know what I fear for Arsenal? It's not the aura or any of those things though. It is the strange things that happen when teams face Madrid. The ones that will piss you off to the point where you lose your head.
Some penalty.
Some
foul that shouldn't be a foul.
Some
own goal. Some VAR.
A corner that shouldn't have been a corner.
So
those things, though,
those decisions, if none of those things happen,
they will happen.
Oh, this is Champions League. This is Champions League. Look, I'm afraid, but look, it's two things I'm seeing. In terms of moments and the sum and everything around Champions League, it's very possible for Madrid to do it. But if we are talking strictly football, tactics against tactics, player against player, Arsenal have the perfect team
to be able to defuse whatever Madrid will bring. And I'm hoping, I'm really, really hoping that that happens. And I think I side with you. I think Madrid will win the second leg, but I don't think it will be enough for them to qualify. So, see you in the semifinals.
Okay. All I'm going to say is, if funny things don't happen, there is no way Madrid are qualifying. The, you know, you see the Julian Alvarez thing, some VAR, some red card. Remember the Buffon incidents? The one yeah. at the one Ronaldo scored the free kick.
But it was a penalty.
If those things don't happen, forget it. Let's take some of your messages. Thomas Partey won the La Liga title. He was part of the Atletico Madrid team that won the title in 2020-21.
No, that's Almeria.
Almeria.
No, 2020-21, he wasn't part. He joined Arsenal in
2020-21. No, no, no. 2020-21, that one he had at Almeria. Yeah. That one he was at Arsenal.
Yeah. So that has to be it. Good afternoon, actually. On Tuesday, when I saw Sitcho's post about Rodrigo, the Arsenal versus Madrid game, I burst into laughter. A few clutch moments in the UCL have deceived a lot of people into thinking he's an elite player. He's not. He's never scored more than 10 league goals in his career. Anyway, big shouts to Daniel for... Are you sure about that? Big shouts to Daniel for seeing the vision and understanding that football is played with proper tactics on the pitch and not with big names. Kweku from Koforidua.
That's not fun.
Karim, I beg, check for me. The stat about Rodrigo, it sounds too good to be true. That he's never scored 10 goals in his career before.
He says he's never scored 10 league goals.
Even still. Time for an
apology. No, it's possible. It's possible. But it's very possible. Rodrigo doesn't have to score goals to show that it's a baller. Yeah. Now, Zidane, on how many goals was he scoring if you want to go into that thing, some players are dirty them. Mozizuno.
Take 3 goals, win Ballon d'Or.
Zizou.
Take 3 goals the whole season,
bro, win Ballon d'Or. Let's not even go there into what makes a player a good player.
Let me get through the rest of the messages. Time for an apology to Arsenal. I remember the abuse Mikel Merino received from you folks in the studio some weeks ago when Arteta decided to use him as a striker. Talking football doesn't mean you know the game. Oh, hey, Charlie. Now, the thing is, you people won't forgive us if we fail to win this year's Champions League. A group of haters of Arsenal. Godwin from North Carolina. Godwin, we thank you for your message. Why? But nobody hates Arsenal. The fact that we don't support your team does not mean that we hate Arsenal. It was just Arsenal's day. They didn't overplay Real Madrid. 2 terrific strikes from Rice and 17 minutes of 3 goals did a trick. Arsenal hasn't played like this before and are also fortunate to meet a not-so-good a Madrid team this year. This year hasn't been good structurally and balanced. Lots of injuries, but Madrid don't give such excuses. A few chances for Madrid were also not taken. Vini, Mbappe, Rudiger, etc. Alaba was a no-no. Shouldn't have started. Much rusty and coming out of injury. Valverde's wrong positioning. Tchouaméni was out. Coach should have trusted Vasquez and put... Actually, it'd be like he has deciphered Real Madrid's problems for that game in one text and says, Coach should have put... should have trusted Vasquez and put Valverde on the right midfield to support him. Play Fran Garcia in the absence of Mendy. Few thoughts. Arsenal scored 3 in 17. Tall order, but Madrid have 90 minutes at the Bernabeu. Remontada loading Sam from Tabora. Thank you, Sam, for your message. Arteta just learned from Barca's 4-0 win in the first Clásico this season. Kojo in Adenta. You underrated Barca Sitcho in the first Clásico, and you are overrating Madrid again. He says you underrated Barca in the first Clásico and you are overrating Madrid again.
I've never underrated Barca before. I said Madrid will win. I said Madrid was going to win. It doesn't mean I underrated Barca. You can't underrate Barca.
That's his interpretation.
Okay, then. But please.
Danny, the current Barcelona team, are they the best team in Europe now?
Ah, the ball and the player, have you seen somebody play anything better? What kind of question is that? The ball Barcelona is playing this season, have you seen any team play better football this season? Hey! Look! Barca can beat anybody. Like, they scare me. When I watch, see, the game that I've watched, the classical safe, you know, make I feel like that. The Valencia game, like last month, was the last 2 months. The one they score like 6 first half, plus like 2 disallowed goals. And then you're the joke. You're the joke. And see, the thing, I like the fact that individual players are doing really well. But it's not even player dependent though. If Lewandowski no play and Ferran Torres plays, it's the same thing. Just go see Ferran Torres no wasan. Yeah. He doesn't know how to score. So instead of 7-0, they'll win 3-0 or 4-0. The start of the season, the holding midfielder, Marc Bernard, the guy after like 2-3 games, balling ACL, Casado came in. Same level.
Baller.
Baller. Casado heads. Next. Baller. Like, The season started, Frankie De Jong was sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
If Frankie De Jong entered the, you know, Bola! Dani Olmo they played a 10. Dani Olmo hit Femi. Bola! See?
Bola, see.
So they are the best team in Europe. Let me give you a stat that will blow your mind. Barcelona have scored 4+ goals on 36 different occasions this season.
It will score you.
Think of it.
It's
36 different matches. Barca have scored a minimum of 4 goals.
Yeah.
They've scored 7 goals in 2 different matches. They've scored 6 goals in 2 different matches. On 11 occasions, they've won by a 5-goal margin.
Hey.
On 21 occasions, they've won by a 4-goal margin.
Yeah. And that is that reads like a Hansi Flick team.
Charlie?
Yeah.
That reads like a Hansi Flick team. Like, I've always rated that guy.
Look, not to cut you in. That COVID Champions League season.
Yeah.
Europe is lucky.
Yeah.
From the quarterfinals to, they didn't play 2 legs.
Yeah, if they played 2 legs, that would have had some of the worst outputs.
Hey, the 8-2 they gave Barcelona.
Like, it would be like 16-3.
Yeah. It was the same guy.
Hansi Flick. No, that's Hansi Flick.
He's a wicked
man. They create chances for fun.
And they score at will.
Against like, any type of defense.
And the thing about them is, when they score the fifth, they are chasing the sixth.
Yeah.
When they score the sixth, they are chasing the seventh. It's a new two no machine no major.
There.
Even after the fifth, they want more.
Now they are in the... Of the teams in the running for a treble, it looks like they are pulling away from everyone else with each passing week. How feasible is that?
No, it's very feasible. It really is. Look, they've beaten Real Madrid twice this season. They'll play them again once the league end in the cup final. At the moment, they are looking favorites. But again, in cup finals, it's Real Madrid. We can't just say because they beat them twice this season, they'll beat them again. But they are favorites. And from what we've seen, they are likely to win the cup. And again, from the league, it's theirs to lose now. Yeah. And they've got the quality to sustain the lead and go on and win it. And in the Champions, they are increasingly looking like the team to beat. Look, they had a very, very good league phase. And then they've added the knockout stages to really playing some fabulous football. But it's what makes it even more impressive for me are the challenges this team has, the coach has had to work with. Because to be fair, he hasn't had the luxury of signings.
Yeah.
The only player who they brought in who is of course the Barcelona signed our Ghanaian brothers from here. So you can't say Barcelona signed. But that was for Barca B. It's Barca. The only notable player would be Olmo.
And Inigo
Martinez. But even for Olmo, today he will play. Tomorrow he's not registered. Today, court says this. But when you look at the job Hansi Flick has done on the team, it's impressive. Because he has improved Rafinha. For me, even Pedri is playing
better.
I'm telling you. For me, even Pedri, Alejandro Balde has always had the he's always looked like he has all the makings of a good left back. But under this manager,
different baller.
Kubasi showed us the signs that he is great. This season, he settled it that Onyembo, he's elite. Casado came into them. Look, he is coaching. And the thing about the job he's doing is, we know Barcelona like their culture of the tiki-taka and everything. But what he has done is to mix that with excitement.
With his German style. There's agency to it.
It's exciting.
Some directness to the tiki-taka.
It's not boring. It's not slow. It's exciting. It's captivating. It puts you on the edge of your seat. Mm-hmm. Like, Barca are winning 3-0, but you're still on the edge of your seat because they are balling. Right?
You know the most impressive thing for me? What his line of education, right, how he sees football, is a complete opposite of what they teach at Barca.
Yeah.
Especially if you look at the fact that he's using players who are fresh from the academy and all they know is what they've been taught at La Masia. Yet he's been able to coach them to, within a matter of months, execute his football to the levels that perhaps we haven't seen.
But the credit to him is he's not ditched the Barca tradition.
No, he hasn't.
He's fused it into his style.
Yeah.
And it is working to a treat. So for me, I think Barcelona are the team to beat in the Champions League now. For me, they've gone through, they'll qualify, they'll beat Dortmund. Like, if Dortmund joke, they'll take another 6. because Signal Iduna, the pitch is even better than the one they have at the Montjuic.
Oh, they've already given them 5.
Yes, at the Montjuic. So at Signal Iduna, they can give them 6.
On a better pitch.
On a better pitch.
Quick.
Yeah.
Do the pitch for us.
And he's done all of this playing away from home.
Yeah.
Last season, some of the excuses Barca, even the players were giving was that the atmosphere is not the same. The stadium is not always full. They don't feel the Barca vibe. You know, around this time of the season, they should have been back at the Camp Nou.
Yeah.
That was the plan, but it's delayed. Home where they don't get those, so some way. But he's managed to make that place home. Right now, the stadium is full. Right now, the atmosphere is bouncing because of the brand of football and the results. Actually, you are celebrating on the average 4.5 goals every game. How can the stadium be quiet? Like, you know, think about it. Every home game you go, you are celebrating four, minimum four. You are celebrating four times. So, yeah, credit to Barcelona. They are balling and they seem to beat.
One other team that has excited many.
Charlie, actually, before your one other team.
Yeah.
Charlie, my boss, Simeone.
Yeah.
He scored four against Barca. He's still no win.
He's still no win. Yeah.
He didn't lead 2-0 with 20 minutes to go. We still no win.
Still.
See,
problem.
Next level.
You don't know. When it happens to you, I understand.
Yeah.
See, I said the game they beat Madrid 5-2. The one final,
the final,
the Super Cup. No, that Madrid performance, every team will lose apart from that Barca team. I'm telling you, or maybe City of 2 years ago, Madrid were not that bad. Oh,
they made them bad.
Then give Mbappe played giddy. But
by into that match, you waste chances. Like you
what team. Chances? How many?
You are talking about the first one they met in the leg. No, I'm talking about the cup final.
5-2, yes.
The 5-2, with the chances he missed, there were not any chances you see.
Oh, but so for your average striker, it's not a clear cut chance. No. But for someone like Mbappe,
how many?
He didn't misplace you.
No, there were two.
See, if you add those two, how many? You know, 5-4.
Bro,
why they talk like Barca to no miss chance? You see,
that's the thing about Barca. Barca don't miss plenty.
They don't miss plenty.
That's true. That's true. So one other team that a lot of people have been impressed by, maybe not to the levels of Barcelona, has to be Inter Milan. And Daniel, progress. So he won the league. They didn't give him a big paycheck to go out and spend big money. I think he took them to the Champions League final 2 seasons ago. But Simone Inzaghi is beginning to show he's a proper specialist when it comes to the knockout competitions.
Yeah, he had won the cup before he came to
He had won every cup in Italy before he came to Inter.
As for cups, there.
He's a solid guy. One of something that Mourinho used to know how to do. I miss that guy, but he could be.
he does more fighting than coaching, Mourinho.
No, but he needs to fight because that place, if you don't fight, they will bully you. For punch the guy in the eyes. The referee, for give up something. See. But I'm shouting. But these people. Listeners, if you can hear me, I'm okay. If you, Karim, you can hear me, you're not my target audience. I'm looking forward to that Barca Inter game. Yes, I've
played already.
Teams. Oh, Bayern, would they not reach? Dortmund, they know. Maybe two German teams. Oh, my son. But it's really important. Look, I think Inter are the closest team in Europe. When I look at their style, when I look at their shape, when I look at their philosophy, I think they are the closest to being able to stop this Barca team. So yeah, some antidotes be like that. I think they can do it, but there are still some holes. But see, look, Inzaghi is doing a super, super job. You mentioned the fact that he won the league, they didn't give him a big pay. Now, even since when has Inter started giving pay? Italian football, they don't give big pay. It's normal. For you to go out and get Thuram, for you to go out and get
Zielinski,
it's fantastic business. Fantastic. And they are really good players that he has in his team. What I love about their team is the quality they have all around. And you can see when you consistently chop and change players, yet the system and their performances remain the same. It just shows you the level of the coaching. It's not player dependent. They don't need Thuram to start a game for them to do. They don't need Lautaro Martinez to be in the game for us to see a certain level. And that is just testament to the coaching that Inzaghi has done. Those two legs against Barcelona will be very interesting to watch because, again, we've mentioned that he's a specialist in cups. He knows that he will not walk into that game, those two games against Barcelona, and try and impose any philosophy. No, he's going to adapt. And he's had time the whole season to think and plot against this Barcelona team. So, it's something I'm really looking forward to. But again, when I take my mind back to what I saw between Inter and Arsenal, you compare the way
philosophically, Arsenal set up and the way Barcelona set up is kind of similar. Obviously, Barcelona have a lot more energy and a lot more running.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the shape, it's kind of similar. And what I saw Arsenal do against Inter, it was just a lack of quality up front. Arsenal should have scored. In fact, they should have won that game, in my opinion. Inter won via a penalty. If you look at the chances, you look at the XG, Inter really didn't threaten Arsenal. It was Sommer who had a good game. Havertz was missing some chances. I just didn't understand. But when you look at the fact that that Arsenal shape, which is similar to the Barcelona shape, was able to plug holes within the Inter system, and then you add the fact that there's a bit more, there are about two extra runners Barcelona have arriving in the box. Their passing is quicker. Their movement is quicker. Charlie, the thing... Look, if Barcelona don't win, it will not be because they've been outplayed. It will be because of poor finishing or somebody just some bad mistake or something. But look, this Barca team are that good, though. Like they are that good. And I think the reason why people haven't embraced them or opened their minds to the fact that they don't have that killer star player, they don't have a superstar in the team. That's the only reason why. Because if they had a big name, look.
Anyway, that's for the Champions League conversation.
Oh, Paris Saint-Germain.
Just a second there.
Louis Enrique. That doesn't like Louis Enrique. That's what talking about.
Now, every single day, you have the key to unlock different spins on Mega Money Wheel, where you stand a chance to win massive on Betway. So what are you waiting for? Log in to betway.com.gh today and take your spin, all thanks to Betway. Terms and conditions apply. It is regulated by the Gaming Commission of Ghana. Bet the responsible way. Betway, get way more. Now, Joy News proudly presents the top 10 impact makers, our extraordinary individuals transforming communities through education, health, girl child empowerment, and innovation. So from after school programs in Kiseman to mental health advocacy in the Ashanti region through to solar in the Upper West region, clean water projects, inclusive education, women's empowerment, and more. These are the true agents of change in marginalized communities across the country. And that's why you need to catch their inspiring stories on Joy News as we honor the selfless individuals reshaping lives one step at a time. The Joy News Impact Makers Awards is brought to you by the McDonald Foundation, Empowering Futures, Building Communities, Gold Key Properties, Transforming the Landscape, MNC Group Global, Totally Reliant, German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental Wellness, and Beauty, and Latex Foam, your partner for life. The Joy News Impact Makers Awards, celebrating ordinary people making extraordinary impacts. Now, we've all been there. You've placed that perfect multi-bet, and it's all going your way until it's not. And one or more picks let you down. Well, with Betway's Bet Saver feature, you can win. Even if your bet misses, even on the multiple losses, you can get your bet back and more. Bet Saver is exclusive to Betway. Get way more. Terms and conditions apply. It is regulated by the Gaming Commission of Ghana. Bet the responsible way. Betway. Get way more. Now, every year, thousands of Ghanaians' brightest minds leave in search of better opportunities, creating a gap in our workforce. The critical question is this: how do we motivate these talented individuals to stay and drive Ghana's much-needed economic transformation? How do we inspire them to build a future here? The time to act is now. So join David Ofosudoti, senior partner at AB David Africa, Professor Mary Setrana from the Center for Migration at University of Ghana, and Abna Amoa, Managing Director of the Ghana Stock Exchange and former President of the Mauritius, His Excellency Dr. Amina Gurib Fakim, the 12th edition of the Ishmael Yamson and Associates Business Roundtable event. Together, they will explore the theme Managing the Talent Exodus, Leveraging Private-Public Partnerships for Growth. And that's happening on the 7th of May at the Palms by Eagles Airport City at 9 a.m. You need to be part of this transformational conversation on Ghana's future. To register, text your name and organization to 053-011-7202 or email us info@ieyamson.com. IEYamson.com. That's the email address. So do also send your details there. We're going to have a brief conversation on the University of Ghana Corporate Football League that goes into the ninth week tomorrow. And we'll take a break for 2 weeks and resume on Friday, the 2nd of May. To help us have that conversation is Dr. Austin Lugutera of the University of Ghana. Unfortunately, okay, we do not have him yet. But Sichu, we cannot finish this without a word or two on what Lucho is doing for PSG. They blew away Aston Villa with another dominant performance, 3-0. 3-1, it finished.
Yeah, for me, it's the cultural change. It's the cultural change for me. I think that he has changed the way we look at PSG now. We are not looking for a superstar. We are looking at a team. PSG are very hated across Europe, across the world. Not many teams like them. Not many fans like PSG. But what he's done is now to take that whole superstar-ish thing around them, and it's built a team where they work together as a unit. And for me, they are playing very well, and they've got some great individuals who can hurt teams. I thought Aston Villa were unlucky, especially with the third goal they conceded, because at 2-1 at the Villa Park, that is still closed. Anything could happen. But that third goal did make it a bit more difficult. But what I like about this PSG team is, when the semi-final last season, they are almost to the semi-final this season. That is massive work in progress. I don't think PSG have been in back-to-back semi-finals since the Qataris took over, have they?
Oh, no, semi-finals.
Back-to-back semi-finals.
Yeah, they have.
Since they went to the
final. They have. Their Messi came and everything cast. They made the final, then they made the semi-final the following season. If you remember, they lost to Man City. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, then they...
Yeah. But when you look at how they are playing now, I mean, it's exciting. And some of the players they brought through, it's not like they're not paying money. They are paying big money still.
Yeah.
Kvaratskhelia is not cheap. He came in for a lot of money.
16 million euros.
João Neves wasn't cheap. He came in for a lot of money. So they are still buying players, very good players, but they are all fitting the new culture, the new system. And again, look, the way PSG plays is not very, very different from how Barcelona plays. The difference really is how their front three operate. Whereas Barcelona have a center forward who is a center forward, not doing any false nine things, PSG have a front three that are flexible to move across.
Yeah.
But when you look at how their midfield plays, how they keep the ball, the energy they have, and how good their back line is on the ball, the similarities are there.
That goal by Desiree Doué.
Ooh, special. And it's proving to be a really special kid for them. They've got many players who, Zaire Emery's on the bench, he can come in and do a job. They've got Bakola, who was on the bench, he can come in and do a job. If they need a striker, they've got Gonzalo Ramos on the bench. So they have a very good unit, and it's one of the teams that people can't overlook. Nobody really can overlook them. When they get into the semi-final, they could go all the way.
Thank you very much, Sichu, and to you, Daniel, as well, for joining us on Game Plan today. At least we've done very well. We stuck to time, close a minute before the show. We're back tomorrow on Joy Prime with Prime Sports Extra. Until then, take good care of yourself, and bye-bye. Excited.